What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice, here with guest Michael Leboff from the Action Network. It's about that time, guys. Sports betting season close to underway. Wednesday night, puck drop, opening night. What's up, guys?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show, Michael. Good to have you back.
It's great to be back, guys. I'm so excited to start winning some bets after the NFL, man. It's nice to be looking forward to something that's a little bit less painful to bet.
Definitely clean slate coming up for hockey lovers like for you. And of course, you know, you do so much preview content on the Action Network. Really great stuff. You've jumped into each and every team. They're good bets, they're bad bets, your favorite bets. Really happy to have you on here. Just off the top, Michael, like, how has the betting landscape changed for hockey this season? Because you're talking about a 56-game season as opposed to 82. It's condensed, and it's all the games are within the divisions, which are new divisional alignments. So much has changed here.
Yeah, I mean, from the top, like, the thing you ought to realize is, like, over-unders will be a little different. Obviously, like, the books have prorated them for this condensed schedule. Make sure to check with wherever you do your betting to see what their rules are if you're making season-long futures just because of potential cancellations. I think most books are putting 54 games as a threshold, but it's going to change, book to book. So make sure to, like, check the fine print before you click submit. And then for the other bets, like, it's pretty much straightforward, right? You're going to, if you're betting a team to win the Stanley Cup, you know, it's going to be just like betting them in the, in a normal season. Same goes for MVP bets and stuff like that. But I also think you should embrace, you know, you always embrace chaos when you're betting on the NHL. That's what makes it so much fun to bet. But in a 56 game season, you know, variance is going to run wild. So definitely, you know, start. I always say to people, especially in hockey, like, when you're doing your betting research, when you're doing your preseason stuff, you start at the bottom of the board. The rest of the world starts at the top. They're all going to be talking about the Avalanche and the Lightning. They're going to be talking about Nathan McKinnon and Connor McDavid. You want to start at the bottom because that's where the value is going to be. Because the books are just going to hang, you know, numbers because they know not many people are going to be paying attention to perhaps the Senators or the Red Wings or players that you could potentially get value on in awards markets. So just make sure you start at the bottom and work your way back up.
So let's stay with the Stanley Cup there, Michael. Obviously, you mentioned at the top, we have the Avs at plus 600. We have the Lightning at plus 750. We have the Golden Knights at plus 900. I mean, those three teams are attractive, right? I mean, even at that price point, like, those are safe picks. Do you have one of those teams, or are you going a little bit below, starting from the bottom up?
Yeah, I haven't bet any of those teams, but if I were to choose one, like, I think the Lightning are the best of the bunch just because, like, think about the Avalanche. They're the best team, hands down best team in the NHL. But just because you're the best team doesn't mean you're the most likely to win the Stanley Cup, especially with this divisional alignment. Getting through the Blues and the Knights, you know, in a best of seven series is kind of pretty close to a coin flip. So yes, they're the best team, but I don't know if I would say they're the most likely to win the Stanley Cup. To me, that's still the Lightning, even without Kucherov. But yeah, I started my first bet, I guess, off the board would be the Hurricanes at 20-1. And I'm pretty close on the Blues too, actually. Just because I think they're actually closer to Vegas and Colorado than they're being given credit for. A little concerned about, like, the goaltending depth, but those were the two shortest teams I bet. And I only bet three teams, and they're the only two that were under 50-1 at the time.
I think it's interesting too. You mentioned Kucherov's out for the regular season, but for a futures wager, he could very well be back in time for the Stanley Cup playoffs whenever they get going. Same thing for, you know, the Blues, like, long-term injury to Tarasenko, he could eventually be back. And then another one that people are sleeping on here is maybe David Pastrnak for the Bruins. I know they lost Chara. I know they lost Krug, but they still have that same strong goalie tandem, and they could get Pasta back. Marchand could play opening night. That has not been solidified, but, you know, just some of these injury implications for the long term. You mentioned there's going to be a ton of chaos, but just those are some important things, I think, to keep in mind for the futures cup wagers and anything going on in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point about the Lightning, right? If you do want to bet the Lightning, you can be patient, right? They're not going to get that much shorter in over the next couple of weeks. I think the same can be said of the Blues and the Bruins. Like, you can kind of sit back and let the market come to you a little bit. We saw it last year. The Lightning got off to that slow by their standards start, went to Europe, came back, and were the best team in the NHL. I think when they did come back from Europe, they were like 12-1, which doesn't sound like a big number, but for a team like them, they basically doubled from where they were preseason. So definitely, like, you can pick out a few teams that you can monitor and just wait for the market to kind of come to you and make your bet, you know, maybe off the back of a 2-game losing streak or whatever. These numbers, the bookmakers keep them up.
Mike, you mentioned the Hurricanes. Can you kind of walk us through, your mindset? I love the Hurricanes too. I think it's a great pick. Tell the listeners why you like the Hurricanes at that price to win the Cup.
They tick basically every box for a contender, but they're still not being priced in the same range as the other ones. I think, you know, it's similar to the Blues. I think that if you think about the Lightning and the Hurricanes, yes, the Lightning are better than the Hurricanes, but how much better are they? Is it worth the Hurricanes being double the odds of the Lightning right now? I don't think so. And I think that kind of goes across the board. Like when you're looking at teams in that mid tier, you want to judge them against maybe the team right above them in their division. Are the Golden Knights bet double, or should they be double the odds of the Blues? The answer, I don't think is no. I think the answer is no. So I think that kind of always happens to the Hurricanes for some reason. Like every year they're like a tad underrated. They're not offered as a long shot, but they're always a little underrated to where they should be. Maybe just because of smaller market team, the star power isn't like, they're not traditional like household names yet. Like, even though we all know like how good Sebastian Aho is and his running mates are, but I just think for some reason the market is just still a little skeptical of them. Could it be like the goaltending to me is good enough, and they can make a move. So I don't really get it. I don't know why the betting market is weird. Like they're always like, for some reason, they're always a little bit higher on teams like the Sabres and stuff, teams that I think bookmakers know bettors will be eager to invest in because they think it's coming, and a little bit like handle like teams like the Hurricanes with a little bit more trepidation.
Are you looking at divisions this year, like the realignment at all, the reseeding, like when it does come down to the playoffs, is that going to be factored into your futures bet? Or are you not as high on that as other people are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's, especially in this season, right? The path to the Stanley Cup is immensely important. That's why I really, really like the Canadiens. The first bet I made was a couple months ago. I bet the Canadiens at 50-1 as soon as the North Division was kind of being solidified, because of the path for them to get to the Final Four is not, you're not going to see the Lightning or the Bruins or any elite team, really. I mean, you can, perhaps the Leafs become that, you know, big hurdle, but for right now, they're not. So we've seen a ton of market movement on the Canadiens too. They've shortened from like 50-1. Now they're 26, 28, 25-1. And I think that's because, you know, the path, I mean, and they're a good team, right? They're very deep. Carey Price looked really good. Jeff Petrie, I think, is incredibly underrated and is a bona fide number one defenseman. And obviously Shea Weber is too. So like this team, like the Hurricanes, ticks every box you want. Plus the path is wide open for them to get into the Final Four. And at that point, you get a 50-1 ticket into the Final Four, you're already sitting on a ton of value.
Yeah, and for that North Division, I think the Leafs, because of some of their additions on defense and, you know, contract year for Freddie Anderson and Joe Thornton there for, you know, hopefully to get them over the hump for their sake. They never win a playoff series, but like they have a great chance to do so this year. But then that creates some value, I think, for teams like Montreal, Calgary, we've been high on this show. Vancouver, even with what they did in the playoffs last year, it's hard for me to forget that. You could talk about their offseason losses, but I think the value on those three teams, Montreal, Calgary, and Vancouver, to win the division is real. I think any of them could do it. And if the Leafs are going to be favored here, these are some of the most fun bets, I would think, right? To target the divisions with the new divisional alignment, try to capitalize on those changes, especially being like a through and through hockey fan like yourself, Mike.
Yeah, I actually, I'm happy you brought up the Flames. I would love to be talked into them because I'm really interested in them. I think they're like a decent number, but there's just something in my head, like, because there's a path there too, right? Same division, but also you're talking about two or three really, really good players that, like Gaudreau and Monahan, that they need a bounce back season. And would you bet on Johnny Gaudreau to having, you know, to replicate his performance from last year, that one for two seasons prior? And even if it's somewhere in the middle, I think it's a good bet. I just need somebody to kind of like just nudge me over the line on the Flames. Cause like, I really want to get invested in them. Cause I think, like you said, like this division is wide open and they're good enough. They have the goaltending, they've got the defense and the depth. Like, so I'm hoping that by the time the show wraps up, that they're another one that I can add.
The best person.
Mike, I mean, the Flames are an easy pick for sure. I mean, Jacob Markstrom, top 10 goalie in the league. David Riddick, even last year, Mike, got that team to close to the top of the division at one point on his own. So I think now with Markstrom in there, you've got the two bounce backs, like you mentioned. I think it's a no-brainer.
Well, what I was going to say was there's no bigger salesman for the Calgary Flames than Rob Reese. He didn't even let me get the words out before he jumped right in. So there you have it. That's the guy who's going to push you over the edge, Michael, is Rob Reese, who loves the Flames.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'll probably, you know, as soon as this is over, I'll start shopping for some numbers on Calgary. Cause like you said, like there is a lot to like about this team. And as I was doing my research, I'm like, I don't know why I don't feel the same conviction for Calgary that I do for a team like Montreal or Carolina, who as soon as like the odds were released, I was like, okay, circle. And then I got to the Flames. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something. And as long as I keep looking and I'm like, I'm not missing anything. I don't understand why I'm not more excited about this team. So that's probably just like some bad personal bias or something that I have. Beautiful jerseys too. Like I'm going to love watching that team. And I always love the ice in Calgary always just looks so smooth up there.
Yeah. They got the horse jerseys back, the black ones. Yep. I'm excited about that, but yeah, back to their appeal. I think like you look at the Leafs, they're a sexy team. The Canadiens also, you could say the same thing with Price and all their offseason additions, but like how Calgary performed, they could have and maybe should have beaten the Dallas Stars in that second round series last year, even though their defense at times was a bit of a wreck. But they shored that up a little bit this offseason. They have Chris Tanev coming over, stay-at-home defenseman, with Markstrom, his trusted guy from Vancouver. They have their top prospect, Juuso Välimäki, is one of the top players from Finland, missed the entire season last year because of injury. So that's another key thing. They have one of the best top sixes in the league. And then an interesting wrinkle they might use this year, they might play Elias Lindholm, 30-goal scorer pretty much both seasons that he's been with the Flames. They might move him to center and get even deeper down the middle with Monahan, Backlund, and Lindholm. So that's something that makes you excited. And I just think, yeah, like what you said, they're just like under the radar for some reason. Even though they have Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk, Tkachuk always gets under your skin as the opposition. But like for some reason, they're just not like a sexy team, even though I think that they're gearing themselves for a deep run here.
I think in layman's terms, it's no way it's going to go everything wrong like it did last year. And they still, like Pete mentioned, got themselves into a into a good situation in the postseason. So there you have it. Now, I think, Mike, I look at the East Division. You have younger teams kind of coming up, like the Rangers, that have a lot of offensive firepower this season. Obviously, some concerns on defense. But then you also have the stalwarts and the history in the division in the Boston Bruins, the Washington Capitals, the Pittsburgh Penguins, who we think might fall off a little bit this year. How do you bet a division like the East that does on paper have the toughest winning percentage this season?
Yeah, it's a gauntlet. Like I don't know how you can go into this season. I've seen a lot of people being really confident about one team or another. I don't know how you can. Like, this is a division I'm just kind of gonna like let unfold in front of me. The one opinion I have is that I think that the Flyers in the betting market at least are the most overrated team in the league, just because like they're good. Like, just because I think they're overrated doesn't mean I don't think that they're good. You know, there's a big line of demarcation there, but the Flyers are just not, they're not in the same, they're priced shorter than the Blues. They're priced shorter than the Hurricanes. That like, they're not better than these teams right now. They could be, who knows, but like right now, I just think if you want to take some stances before a season, because if you're right, you're going to get paid off. If you're right about the Flyers being overrated, and they, you know, they play the Sabres at, and they're, you know, minus 200, and you think that the Sabres can hang with them at the very least, like you're going to get paid off for it, right? And it's the same the other way. I think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are a little underrated, which is weird to say just because of where they've been. But if you look back to last year, for the first couple months of the season, they were one of the best defensive teams in the NHL. They were one of the, by expected goals, they were ranking near the top with the Bruins and the Wild. And I was like, what's going on? And then John Marino gets hurt. I think Brian Dumoulin missed a bunch of time. Like that's when their numbers started to kind of creep down. And obviously two bad playoff performances in a row, the market kind of soured on them. Plus you know, I always say bettors are kind of like toddlers. Like they want to play with like the new toys, and the old toys get like shoved away into a shelf. Like the Penguins are kind of like that old toy. They're in the shelf, and like the teams like the Avalanche and the Knights, like they're the ones that are the new toy that's like under the Christmas tree or whatever. And that kind of causing the Penguins price to go up a bit. I haven't bet them yet, but I'm interested in like their derivative markets. Like Sidney Crosby's 25-1 to win the MVP in a 56 game season. I think that's good value. Evgeny Malkin is, I think, around 40-1 to win the Rocket Richard. Same, I think that's pretty good value. I don't know where Mike Sullivan was. His odds are pretty decent for Jack Adams. I think, you know, there's going to be like a bounce back narrative to him if the Penguins are really good. So there's probably some value you can squeeze out of there. So rather than, you know, laying juice on will they make the playoffs and betting yes, like look towards those markets because you can get paid off better.
Yeah, I had trouble with the Flyers too with just preseason picks. I mean, like I kind of had a hard time getting them into the top four of the Metro. But then on the flip side, I feel really good about like Carter Hart's chances of winning the Vezina. So that just shows you how whacked out this division is in so many different areas. Do you think there's any glimmer? We've been kind of downplaying the Sabres a little bit, just kind of backing away from them even after their offseason changes, because they are now a part of that division, which now adds Boston. Even for their faults and their injuries, they're still the Bruins. I fully expect them to get to the playoffs. So now adding them, having Washington and Pittsburgh and the Islanders, even we haven't mentioned them, they should get into the playoffs if they stay healthy with Trotz and Sorokin and Varlamov. Like, how do you view the Sabres as even being competitive? Do you think it's going to happen? Is there any, you know, deeper appeal there?
It's in, like, the Sabres are always really weird from a betting standpoint. Like, if you've paid attention to the NHL betting market for a while, for some reason, the Sabres are always in, like, their prices, they're always overvalued despite being a long shot. They should be like in the 101 range in this division, 80 to 101, I think, just because, like we said, the path is just, how is this team going to not only win enough games, get enough points, beat playing Philadelphia, Boston, Pittsburgh, Islanders, Rangers throughout a season, but then beat them in best of sevens, at least two of them. Like, it's just, it's too much to ask of a team. So like if you are looking to bet the Sabres, just bet them, in game markets, because they're going to be, you know, underdogs against basically every team except for the Devils. And if they are good, you're going to get paid off that way. And their number's not going to shorten that much. So like, let's say the Sabres do have a decent start and they're looking like, hey, they could sneak into the playoffs. Bet them then. But, you know, if you really want to get involved with the Sabres, people, for some reason, people just always want to pick the Sabres. And I just don't understand. I'm like, you know, it's fine. Like, I get it. Like, it's been a long playoff drought. They're always like a fun, plucky team. I was watching like some old video highlights of the Islanders playoff series against them in like 2007, which I still contend was the closest 5-game playoff series of all time, where the Islanders had a couple bad bounces go against them. And I was just like, they had that like Goo Goo Dolls like montage, like that was supposed to be the Sabres year. But then every year after that is also supposed to have been the Sabres year. And I just don't understand why. Usually bettors don't get caught up in that kind of hype, but for some reason with the Sabres, they do. I'd say pump the brakes a little bit. There's definitely a chance just because like their depth down the middle is good. If their goaltending plays just even average, they should be all right. Obviously Rasmus Dahlin, like there is a chance for this team. Sure. There's a chance for every team. Do I think that the chance is good enough to bet at 50-1, 60-1, wherever they are? No, absolutely not. Not right now.
Well, they've started the past two seasons. The first month, they've looked great. They've been one of the best teams in the league in the first month, the past 2 years. So it's like, if you take that preseason stance, Mike, and you're like, I'm taking the Sabres this year, you look like a genius for the first 30 days of the season, and then it's a total nosedive down. So I think the one thing, Bob, I don't know if you agree with this, is this year about the Sabres. I mean, the value speaks for itself. Like, that price point is good. You don't have to talk me into that. The only thing is, I think that a little bit more of an advantage for the Sabres is teams like Philly and Pittsburgh, you know what you're getting out of that game. It is going to be a bruiser. Even if they play like two games in three nights, like that's going to be a bloodbath at times for those teams. Same thing, Washington and Pittsburgh. Those are going to be big marquee events, whereas Buffalo can kind of sneak in there maybe in the weekend slot. And you can get a lot of value there. I'm not saying take them in the preseason to a futures bet. I'm saying really watch the line this year and watch tight games like that when they play a team like Washington off of a team like Pittsburgh, or play like a team like Philadelphia off one of those bigger matchups in the East.
I agree with you, Mike. And excuse me. I agree with you, Robbie. And Mike, listen, when you're looking at the board early in the season, some teams that you would look at and say, wow, they're underrated or the price is going to be good, like the Senators, for example. You know, you might get a great price on the Senators, or a team that's overrated. You're looking at them. You just mentioned the Flyers. But give me a few of the teams, and you might have mentioned a few already, teams that going into the season, you know the price is going to be right and is worth putting some shekels on because they're just not going to be priced correctly. The Senators come to my mind.
We could do a 3-hour podcast about the Senators if you want. I think that this team is going to be incredibly underrated on a game market. Like if they win, you know, 15, 20 games out of their, the first 40, you're going to get paid off. And then the market, maybe you'll start to adjust. But what you're looking for is you're looking for, from a team like that, from a team like the Red Wings, you're looking for modest improvements. And if you looked at their numbers from two seasons ago and compared them to the season, the, from last year under DJ Smith, they took a step forward. It might not really show in the win-loss column because they were bad, but you know, if you're judging by that, but they took a step forward. And they kind of plugged some holes. Like I'm not saying that, you know, Derek Stepan and Eric Goodbranson are like, you know, top pair or first line players right now. They're not, but they provide a little bit of depth. They provide some sort of, and better, you know, this is a cardinal sin of sports betting. It's like, going into like cliches, like good in the room, whatever, but those guys help young teams. No matter how you look at it, bringing a guy like Goodbranson or Stepan will help a team, especially over the long run. But there's also skill here. Like Evgeny Dadonov is a wizard. He makes that first line better right away. And obviously him and Tkachuk, I think, are match made in heaven. So the Senators, I think you're going to be dealt amazing prices on them all night. You just got to be able to have the stomach to be like, I'm going to bet the Senators tonight. There's a chance that they get whitewashed. Like they could be set. They could lose 7-1 tonight. I might lose my money, but I know that that's the right bet just because the price was good. And then guess what? The next night they might win. So it's like, you just got to, as long as you can, the unfortunate reality of betting on hockey, right, is you're going to be betting bad teams more often than not. Like you're going to be betting the teams lower in the table more often than not. And once you develop that kind of internal fortitude, you're gonna get paid off on it. It's gonna be a lot more of an enjoyable experience. It won't be enjoyable when the Senators are blowing a 4-1 lead in the third period, but it will be when they win 5-2 because they catch a team on an off night or something.
And let me just piggyback, and I'll let Pete get in here. An overrated team, I think you mentioned this in one of your articles to me, where you're going to look at the price and you're going to say, wow, why would I take this team, is the Dallas Stars. So maybe take the team they're playing against, knowing that the Stars are going to be overpriced.
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't want to blindly bet a team ever. So, you know, you're betting numbers, not teams. But just think about the last time everybody saw the Stars. They saw them. They were this gutsy, gritty team. The whole hockey universe fell in love with them in the bubble. They came within what, two wins of a Stanley Cup. That's on bettors' minds, you know. And when I say casual bettors, I'm talking about hockey fans who bet, right? They're going to say, oh, the Stars, Stanley Cup runner up. They might not bet them every night, but they're going to be looking because the Stars are a good team and they just finished second in the league last year. But under the surface, there's some, you know, you can kind of poke holes in what the Stars did. They got great goaltending. They basically made their system work because in a best of seven series, like it's a good system to play. You'll edge out results in that kind of hockey. Will that translate in a regular season? I don't know. So I think right out of the gate, if you're looking just for opportunities, I think the Stars are really, really good fade opportunity. Like I said, last time people saw them, they were this, you know, plucky underdog. People fall in love with them. And then in 2 or 3 weeks, if they do struggle out of the gates, which they might without Sagan and Bishop to kind of play with Khudobin, like they might be bad, and then that value's gone, and you might be coming back on the other side saying like, all right, now the Stars are in range to start buying low on.
And the other thing about the Stars, they've been a very mediocre team the past two regular seasons. Take those two top tier players from their roster away, and all of a sudden the gap narrows. Not only do I like Carolina more than them, you know, to win the division or to be competitive or to beat them in head-to-head games, I also kind of like teams like Columbus over them and maybe even Nashville. I've been down on Nashville, but they have a strong as heck defense. UC Saros, I know you like Mike from our previous conversations. You could talk a little bit about him, but I mean, look at some of the other defenses in that division alone. And as much as you love Haskinen and Klingberg and Lindell and all those guys, I mean, the gap has been narrowed by those injuries. And I think that I would maybe even lean some of those other teams in head-to-head games.
Yeah, I would say I have the Stars, especially from like a value perspective, below Columbus, Nashville, and like almost maybe Florida, just because I think there is like some buy low tinge on Florida too, because of, you know, Bobrovsky. If Bobrovsky is that bad again this season, it's a whole different conversation, but I'm expecting him to really take a step forward in year two. But yeah, I think like Nashville to me is like almost in that Flames kind of conversation that we had. Like I keep looking at them and I'm like, I just don't understand why I'm not more excited about them. It's similar to the Flames, where it's like you're betting on a couple of players to have bounce back seasons. You know, the top line didn't score enough last year. The defense is incredible, obviously. You know, Ellis and Roman Josi are probably the best pairing in the league. And like you said, yeah, I like a bet on Juuse Saros to win the Vezina. He's 50-1, I think, at some sports book still. He's behind Malcolm Subban, Thomas Greiss, Jonathan Quick, Matt Murray. Like if you just look at the whole board top to bottom, and you're like, you know, how is this guy who's I'm expecting to start most of these games, in especially in this truncated season, and who had a brilliant second half? Like, why is he the longest shot? He was the longest shot on the board at DraftKings when I bet him. I'm like, I just don't. That doesn't make sense to me. Even he's not going to win. Like I'm okay with knowing that he's probably not going to win the award, and I'm not going to win this bet. But you have to bet that number.
And I honestly think too, like the Vezina price for that is ridiculous. Plus 5,000 for Saros, who you mentioned is going to start most of the games. I mean, that's just simply good value because he's going to have the opportunity to win the award. Like you have to have the volume there, which he will. And I think same thing with the Hart Trophy this year. I know you mentioned the Lightning being a good futures bet for the Stanley Cup. I mean, Stamkos at plus 2,800. His price is that because of his injury history. Obviously there is incurrent risk with that. You're going to take that, but also I think that's good value without Kucherov. He's going to have to play great. He's going to get the volume as long as he's in the lineup. I think it's a good bet.
Yeah, and when you're betting awards, right, who votes for the awards? It's human beings. So what better story than Steven Stamkos, you know, having this after the injury problems he had last year? Let's say he comes close to leading the league in scoring. Like, everyone's going to love that story, and he's going to be talked about, and that's what you want, right? You want your MVP bet, your Vezina bet, you want them to just be on the tip of the tongue of, you know, media members all season and be talked about, and all the deep dive think pieces that get run throughout a season about the MVP race or whatever. You want your guy involved in those. And if Stamkos is good, he's absolutely going to be involved. So I think that's a pretty good bet. And if, like I was saying before, if you want to get invested in the Lightning, but you just can't stomach like a short price, like what their cup odds are, bet Steven Stamkos to win MVP. And those two things are correlated. If the Lightning are good, it's probably because Stamkos is good. So you can get involved in teams in those ways, in those derivative markets. Like that's why you want to take just a big picture look at the board before you bet a team to win the Stanley Cup. You know, take a step back. I use John Gibson for this example all the time. I'm pretty bullish on the Ducks relative to the market. I don't think they're great, but in that division, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs, which their price is like plus 225. If the Ducks make the playoffs, that means John Gibson had a good season. And if John Gibson has a good season and carries that team to the playoffs, he should be in the Hart conversation. You know, who's the most valuable player to his team? If the Ducks are in the playoffs, John Gibson will be the most valuable player to his team. At 100-1, like I would take the 100-1 instead of the plus 225, even though I know that it's much less likely to win all day.
Yeah, I think you could say in that division for sure, you could look at some of the options, like if the Wild get to the playoffs, Kaprizov's probably going to be involved and probably going to win the Calder. You could look at if the Sharks get into the playoffs and Erik Karlsson is the Erik Karlsson from a few years ago when he was the best defenseman in the league after having 11 months off, by the way. He has a chance to do that. If he powers them into the playoffs, he could be in the running for something like the Norris or the Hart even. Depending on how much of a one-man show it is. But I think you bring up a good point. And same for the Coyotes in that division. If they get to the playoffs as the fourth seed, Darcy Kemper is going to be in the Vezina conversation and maybe even the Hart conversation because they have no offense out there. So it's going to be because of him. And same for the Ducks. Like you said, if the Ducks make the playoffs, Gibson's going to be in those mixes, as is Trevor Zegras most likely for the Calder. So that should like be running through your head with the scenarios, with the bold predictions. How does it affect, you know, the Adams conversation, the Vezina, the Norris, the Hart, many cases, right, Mike? Like through the years, you see those surprise teams get littered amongst the top three of the awards come season's end.
Yeah, just think about Taylor Hall a couple seasons ago, right, with the Devils. He brings that team to the playoffs and he wins the Hart. Like it's just an important thing to remember. Like betting is pretty complex. Like you get in, you put in what you get out, or you know, but the layers are there, and if you recognize like the layers of it, you can definitely start to make you know, a little bit better decisions. You might not like, look, if the Ducks make the playoffs and John Gibson doesn't win the Hart, would that suck because I didn't win that bet? Sure, but like I would know that there's a chance that I'm going to get paid off, you know, 80 times my original thought, which was, hey, I think the Ducks can make the playoffs in this race. And then I took a step back and said, well, if the Ducks make the playoffs, like you said, Trevor Zegras will be a part of it. Dallas, I'm a weird guy because I was waiting for these sports books to post Jack Adams odds for like 2 weeks. Cause I've just been thinking, if I can get Dallas Eakins at like 40-1, I really like that bet too. Cause if the Ducks make the playoffs, like they're going to be, you know, people are going to be voting for Dallas Eakins to win the Jack Adams. Like last year I had John Tortorella at 43-1 and that was a bad beat, but the thinking was there. I was like, if the Blue Jackets make the playoffs after they just lost, you know, Panarin and Bobrovsky, John Tortorella has a really good chance of winning Jack Adams. And he did. And I'm still a little mad. I've been protesting. I don't know if the NHL tribunal has heard my case yet, but he, you know, that's, it sucks because I didn't win the bet, but having the 43-1 ticket there on the podium is a great time. It's a good sweat. You feel good. You can brag about it. It's nice. It's just, that's the way to think about it. And the more people that do that, like it's better for the league too, because you're going to be like, all right, like now people are paying attention to players like, you know, Gabe Vilardi, if the Kings make the playoffs or stuff like that. And that is a good trickle down kind of way to look at betting, why betting can be good for a sport. It's like, you're going to become familiar with these players who you might not have been until you got, you know, you put a little skin in the game.
Well, and it also, I mean, the divisions comes up here too as a factor, because Eakins at plus 4,000 is certainly a better bet than Ralph Krueger at plus 2,500. Not only are you going to get a higher return for that, but they've got an easier route, the Ducks, to sneak into the playoffs this season. Now, Mike, I do want to touch on one team last year, the Minnesota Wild. They were one of our favorite bets, I think, on the show, our recommendations, just in terms of being a sneaky team. They lost their center, Marco Rossi, who's going to be a nice rookie this year. He's out indefinitely with an upper body injury. So how do you bet this team where there is good value on them still, but it seems like they don't have a true number one center?
Yeah, I've been betting the Wild so much the past 2 years that it kind of felt liberating that like this year, I'm like, all right, I don't really see the reasoning to get involved with this team. I feel like a little freedom, like these shackles of really, really getting invested in this team. And it's like you said, the center depth is horrifying to get involved in, especially without Rossi. Like this team, who's going to be the guy like in with 2 minutes left in a tie game, that's going to be sent out against, you know, the Knights top line or, Nathan MacKinnon. Like that's scary stuff to think about. But we were saying about the West division, it's basically two divisions, right? You got the Blues, the Knights, and the Avs kind of battling out for 1, 2, and 3. And then you got a five team race for the 4 seed. The Wild are on paper probably one of the best teams in that group of five. But like, if they do struggle, like they could tear things down and really look towards the future. I think the same could be said for the Coyotes, which profiles them as good on under bets too. Like you want to think about that in your head. Like the trade deadline is going to be weird this year, but I always have the trade deadline in my head when I'm thinking over unders, because like the Blackhawks, like if the Blackhawks sell off everybody right before the trade deadline, like those last couple of games, like they're going to struggle. So that's going to be the difference between your team going over or under. So I think like the Wild, to me, I'm not involved in them at all. I think they're going to be in when they're playing like teams like the Kings and the Ducks, they'll probably be overvalued because they're being viewed like they're a couple tiers above them, where I don't think so, just because of the center depth. That being said, like the defense is really good. So I can totally, and Cam Talbot in that behind that defense should be good. So I can totally see them being, you know, doing what they do, playing great defense and scratching out results. But I just don't think the only way I would get involved with them is actually a bet I made, which is Jared Spurgeon to win the Norris, because I think he's starting to get on people's minds a little bit. He's a great, obviously a really good player. But other than that, like from a team perspective, I just don't see it with them.
One of the biggest questions that I have entering this season is who is going to be the team out of the seven teams that didn't make the return to play big 24 team tournament last year? Which of those seven are going to get into the playoffs? I know that there's going to be one, and it's probably after that Rossi injury, I've come to the conclusion it's probably going to come from the West Division, whether it's the Sharks or the rapidly rebuilding Kings. Do you agree, Mike? Do you like the Sabres to be the best chance, even with the tough division, to get into the playoffs from the non-playoff teams? The other ones are like Ottawa, the Devils, Detroit has virtually no chance, but like those are the teams we're talking about here.
Yeah, I think it's the Ducks, and you know, that I might be too high on them, and I'll find out pretty quickly, I think, which is good. Like, one of the great things about betting is if you have these strong opinions, and 2 weeks later, if you're wrong, you're incentivized to be like, all right, let me take a step back and stop being, you know, so stubborn and change. And like, I can put my pride away because it's costing me money. So it's the Ducks. I love John Gibson. I think he's such a good goaltender. Even though he had a down year last year, I just think that goaltending, plus the fact that they have players who should be taking a step forward this year, like there is a little bit of a higher ceiling. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Los Angeles. Like their underlying metrics, like Todd McClellan did a really good job with this team last year. I don't know if people were really paying attention just because they were, out of the playoff picture for so long. But that's a team that I've circled, and I'm quickly gonna make have an opinion on pretty quickly out of the season. Like if they continue to play this good possession game where they're the ones generating more scoring chances than not, I'll definitely be involved. Because all that was missing really last year was a little bit of scoring talent, and they would have been like, you know, 10 points better. So I could see it being the Kings, but I agree with you. Like, it's going to probably come out of that West Division because, you know, that is like such a peculiarly formulated division with how top heavy and, you know, bottom heavy it is. It's just so strange, and it'll make for a lot of fun betting.
I'm definitely higher on the Ducks now after we've had you on the program, like for sure. I think I view them as real close now, especially with Zegras. I think he's the missing ingredient there that's going to spark those older guys too, like Getzlaf, et cetera, to have better seasons. But I think, Pete, now I'm on the Kings. I really believe in this team. I think Mike said it with their coaching. Like, they were top five in puck possession last year with a pretty shaky roster. It's impressive. So Kopitar at plus 10,000, I think, is great value to win the MVP trophy. The media already loves the player. And then Drew Doughty's in a great bounce back spot because he's going to have a chip on his shoulder the whole season. The media is off Drew Doughty. If you're reading it, they're saying that this guy's over the hill, whatever else. And, you know, look at back to last season, Drew Doughty versus the Calgary Flames was a story in itself. The player can get up for those big situations. So I think that you guys kind of convinced me maybe to take the Kings on an outside shot here for that fourth seed.
I'll make the case for the Sharks just because I think they do have great centers when they're healthy, and they do have great defensemen when they're healthy, between Burns and Carlson being bounce back guys. Mark Edward Vlasic is a great stay at home guy. They have a new wrinkle here. It seems like the kid John Leonard, who led the NCAA in scoring last year, is not only going to make the team, he might play in the top six. So that's like a key thing for them. Because I was reading your article, Mike, and you're spot on. They are right in the middle of tearing things down for a full rebuild and actually being in the running for the fourth spot, which I believe they are when you look at, even with the goalie weakness, like the amount of playoff experience and big game experience on that team, if you stack them up against the Ducks or the Wild or the Kings in those big games down the stretch and they're healthy, I think that could get them into the playoffs, where they'll probably get bounced pretty early by either Vegas or Colorado, to be honest, or St. Louis. But still, they have a great chance to make the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, and it's apropos, right? Because that old adage is, you don't need to outswim the shark, you just got to outswim your sister. And like, so the Sharks just need to outswim the Ducks, the Coyotes, the Kings, and the Wild, and they can definitely do that. The goaltending is a major concern for me. But like, if they were in any other division, I would be like, this team should be 150, 200-1, because there's not a viable path, and they'll tear it down and try to build towards next year. But because they were kind of handed this strange division, like all of a sudden you gotta think, all right, let's give it one more shot. Let's see what these guys have left in the tank.
Mike, you touched on it a little bit, some trophy picks. You threw a few out there. I'm terrible at these, so this is why I'm asking the question, so you can give me the intel. Give me some of your best bets when you look at the Norris Trophy, the Vezina, the Jack Adams, the Calder, you know, all of these trophies. Throw out your best bets for the listeners.
Sure. We'll start with the call there. Like, you can call me a homer, but I think it's Ilya Sorokin. And you just, all you need to do is look at the board and it shows you where the value is, right? Igor Shesterkin is the favorite. Ilya Sorokin is down. I think he's still at 28-1 at Bet365, 20-1 at other places. So what's the difference between those two guys is that Shesterkin plays for like a more glitzy team, you know, a team on Broadway, bigger market. And he's played 12 NHL games. Like, there's not that much of a difference between these two. They're both, you know, young, great Russian goaltenders. There shouldn't be this big of a discrepancy in the odds. So I like Sorokin. I think the Kings are also a good team to shop around for the Calder picks because they're going to give. It seems like they're going to make sure that there's room for these players playing. Like, it's all about opportunity with that. And then, yeah, like I said, I think Saros for the Vezina is the best bet on the board. He's going to have the opportunity. He had a great second half. I think he led the league in goals saved above expected, which is a stat from Evolving Hockey from January 1 on. He wasn't great in the playoffs, but like this, he's shown like some flashes. And I wouldn't be surprised if like by the time this season ends, he's in that tier with, you know, the Jack Gibsons and Tuukka Rask of the world. So I think he's just like from a value perspective is a great bet. Hart, I think there's like this weird like mid-tier for the Hart that I'm really interested in. And it is like the old guard, Ovechkin, Malkin, Crosby, like they're Stamkos. They're all kind of being overlooked because McKinnon and McDavid and Austin Matthews are all getting the attention. But if you look at it, does Austin Matthews have, you know, a much better chance of winning the Hart than Sidney Crosby does? I don't think so. I think if the Penguins are really good, Sidney Crosby is going to be in the conversation because the Penguins being good is going to be correlated to Sidney Crosby being really good. So I like him longer shots. Like, I think John Gibson, 100-1, Jacob Markstrom, 100-1. Like, if you're betting long shots for the Hart, look goaltenders. It happens. Carey Price, Jose Theodore, Hasek won twice. Like, these guys, they win. 100-1, you need your bet to win 1% of the time. So goaltenders win more than 1% of the time in Hart voting. So I think that, you know, Markstrom, Gibson, I think they're both out there at 100-1 are worth betting. I kind of can be convinced in Braden Point, even though he's a little bit shorter. I just think the media really fell in love with him. And if it's not Stamkos getting all the attention in Tampa, it'll be Point without Kucherov. So like, there's definitely a path to success there. And then I also think like players like Ryan O'Reilly and Patrice Bergeron are really interested because we're starting to develop like a better stats for telling how good a player is defensively. And obviously those are two great two-way forwards. They're in that middle bracket and definitely could be. And I think O'Reilly too has that narrative. They both have that narrative where their teams lost big players, but if they're still really good, they'll be given a lot of credit for.
Well, the guy with the Islanders hat is taking Sorokin for the Calder. I never would have guessed it, Mike. Not from you, not from an Islanders guy. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that one this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's him and excuse me, Ryan Pulak too, I think is decent value for the Norris. But I won't get too into the Islanders. I try to be really careful when I talk about them, just because, like, you know, no matter how you want to look at it, like, people will say I'm biased or whatever. But it's just if the Islanders to me are priced in perfectly by the market, right? Their bookmakers are obviously being very careful with them. Cause they know like, hey, look, this team was a win away from being a win away from making the Stanley Cup last year, but there are, you know, depth issues and stuff. So like I said before, just take a step back and be like, if the Islanders are good, like that means Sorokin's going to be good. And if Sorokin's good, he's, you know, he does have some considerable hype, especially in the hockey community, which will be voting on the award. He should be in the Calder conversation. And I think Ryan Pulak, like, I don't think enough people realize how good this guy is yet. And he's about to take a huge step forward in my mind. So he'll get power play time. Obviously, we know that the Norris Trophy voting is basically the best offensive defenseman, it seems like, lately. So he has a chance there. I wouldn't say it's I haven't bet that one yet, but it's definitely in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I think with Sorokin, you look back at his stats in the KHL, led the KHL in shutouts, combined for 20 shutouts over the past 2 years, And from everything I've heard about that defense, it's not like he was playing behind a lockdown defense, which now he will be. And the system of Trotz, and Trotz has gotten so much out of all the guys that he's coached with the Islanders to this point. So I think he has that chance. Also, there is a chance for him to win the Calder and maybe finish with more wins than Shesterkin or Samsonov. Because of this, I think because that division is so tight, if the Islanders get off to a slow start with Varlamov, they're going to have to flip the switch quickly or they're going to fall out of it. So if you think of it as a timeshare, yeah, you might. But once Sorokin starts playing, there's going to be the platform for him to take over for Varlamov. And another sneaky guy for that Calder race that we didn't mention earlier, but we were talking up the Senators. If the Senators are much improved and they're playing in the North Division with all these high scoring offenses, I think that Tim Stützle has a chance to be in the Calder mix and maybe finish with the most points of any rookie skater. That would be ahead of Kaprizov, ahead of Lafreniere, ahead of Zegras. It's possible.
Yeah, you saw his number just plummet during the World Junior. Like people were like, "All right, I'm in on Stützle." And I think you bring up a funny point too. I think there's a chance that we just see all the awards go to the North Division just because, like, you know, the media is a little Canadian heavy. So like, I wouldn't. And sometimes it feels like that's the only division, you know, playing when you're on hockey Twitter and stuff. You just see everyone just talking about the North Division. Will the Leafs do it? How many playoff series will this team win? What, you know, whatever. So like if anybody in that division, you know, has like the season, like takes a step forward, they're going to be in the conversation. So it's not a bad market to shop, shop Canadian in. And then I just want to mention one more guy who I think is a pretty good bet in either for the Rocket Richard or the Hart. He's about the same odds in both. Is Andrei Svechnikov, who I think, like, he's not on people's minds yet. He got hurt in the bubble. He's, you know, not in that he's in that caliber of player where he's like one of the best players in the league already, but he's not a household name. But you want to beat the market to that. You want to beat the market to being a household name. And I think he's someone that his ceiling is like he can just have an absolute dominant season. Especially playing with those two guys in Carolina, and if Carolina is good, like this guy could light it up. So he's someone who I invested in already to win the Rocket Richard. And I'm thinking like, if I think he's going to win the Rocket Richard, I should also think he has a chance for the Hart. So I'll probably get involved there, and I'm just like super high on him and just in general. And I think that like, he's like, if you bet him now, you're getting him at 80-1. Next year, when we're having this conversation, he's probably gonna be what, like 20-1 at, you know, being like that David Pastrnak range, I believe.
Well, the same thing in fantasy, Mike. You got to be one step ahead of the curve. That's why we're so high on Svechnikov. Someone asked me on Twitter, "Why do you love this guy?" I'm thinking my brain exploded. I'm like, "What is not to love about this player?" But Mike, we'll definitely have to have you back on as some concrete trends shake out here in the first month or so, some injuries shake out, and then we can get kind of the more well-rounded, you know, hedge your bets too for anyone that's not looking too hot in the start of the season.
I'd be remiss, Mike, before you go, I have to ask you about a team that you loved last year. You bet consistently during the playoffs. I think you had a future on them. How do you view, we haven't really talked about them, how do you view the Columbus Blue Jackets this year? I look at their price. I think it's like +1,000 to win that division. There's a chance there, an outside chance. How do you view the Blue Jackets heading into this year?
Yeah, I thought I was going to, when I was doing all my research, I'm like, I had them on that list with Carolina, St. Louis, like the Jock Gibsons. I'm like, this is probably a team I'm going to end up betting. I love betting on defensive teams, like good defensive teams, even in game to game markets, because they give you much more margin for error, right? If your offense is off the mark, like it's not that big of a deal. Like if the Oilers, for example, have a bad shooting night, like the Oilers and the Blue Jackets are chalk and cheese. Like, couldn't be more different. Like if you bet the Oilers and they don't shoot well one night, you're probably not going to win your bet. Whereas like the Blue Jackets, they prefer to win games 2-1. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's why I've always liked them. I'm a little worried, like the other teams, like the Blues and I was mentioning, like, I don't think their price is going to go anywhere, except maybe it actually could get better for the better because, you know, if Dubois is traded, I don't think like Jarmo Kekalainen is not going to get fleeced. So if they do trade Pierre-Luc Dubois, they're going to get a good piece in coming back. But I can just see, like, I can see that price going up a little bit just on the, like the perception of the trade and such. So like, I'm definitely, they're like one of those teams I've circled. I love betting them as underdogs in that division. Like, I'll basically be betting them every time they play the Lightning and the Hurricanes. When they're in that like plus 120 to 170 range, like, I'll be all over them. But just for right now, I want to watch that roster shake out before I like put a future down on them. And they're a funny team too. Like John Tortorella again, like, could be, I think he's out there in like that mid tier for Jack Adams. Like, if they do it again, like, he's going to win. Like, if you want to get involved that way, like, go right ahead. Like, I would bet John Tortorella would win the Jack Adams before I bet them to win, to make the playoffs or to like go over their point total.
I also like Seth Jones to be in the Norris conversation. I feel like he's one of those bounce back candidates that for whatever reason, like, nobody's really talking about him in the same light as Carlson and Tyson Barry and Morgan Riley and stuff like that. But I feel like if they make the playoffs, if they win the division, which Bob mentioned is feasible, like, Seth Jones could win the Norris Trophy, no doubt about it. He's right up there and rising defenseman with Haskinen and anybody else that you want to put into that conversation. So again, Mike, great to be on with you, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Follow Mike at the Big Lebowski, and good luck with all your bets, man. Great to be with you.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, in a couple of weeks I'll be back and I'll be cursing, you know, the Ducks and the Senators and just be giving up on the season.
Cool, man.
Appreciate you popping on for sure.
Thanks,
good luck.
Guys.
All right. And thanks for the intel. You know, I steal that intel and I'm going to run with it. Thanks, Mike.
All right. So long, guys.
Wrap it up, fellas. I mean, Mike is, I'm telling you, if you read his stuff on Action, he is thorough. And he was pretty thorough there in that last hour or so. I don't even know what else I could say other than, I mean, we reacted to what he was saying. I mean, excellent stuff from him.
Yeah, why don't we get to some of our bold predictions? Because I think some of them are either in line about what we were talking about with Mike, and some of them, you know, definitely translate to the fantasy world. I think he mentioned Svechnikov. We feel similarly about his ceiling. I also think, you know, remember we were targeting him for our bold prediction, and then I was like, hey, let's lump Sebastian Aho into this too, because if he finishes with the most goals, Svechnikov, Aho could easily have maybe one of the highest point totals, or vice versa. I mean, Aho scored what, like four? He was on pace for over 40 goals last year. Maybe he hit it. I think definitely, like, if Aho and Svechnikov finish in the top five apiece in goals this year, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Hey, listen, you heard me a couple shows ago on Svechnikov. I just think, and Mike just solidified it for me. I'm going to place the bet ball. I'm going to put it in on Svechnikov. He mentioned the Richard Trophy. He mentioned the Hart Trophy. Why not? Let's go. I think he's ready to have a full-fledged, full-on, 100% breakout where he's the headliner. So let's roll with that one.
And Robbie, for Buffalo, I mean, if they surprise people and make the playoffs, they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be littered in the awards at the end of the year, right? Kruger's going to be in the mix for coach of the year. Eichel's going to be in the mix for MVP. Dahlin might be in the mix for Norris. Maybe not the goalie, but, you know, you could see a lot of those bets maybe paying off. And then in fantasy as well, our bold prediction for the Sabres is that maybe they could make the playoffs and Taylor Hall and Jack Eichel could both play on the same line and both be in the top five point getters in the entire league.
Yep. I mean, that's why it's such a great bet, because if they're going to be in that conversation, Pete, even if they're competitive, we're the last five games of the season, they still have a shot at making the playoffs. It's going to be because of those guys. And if they shake out and they sneak in, even if it's just by a point or two, they have really, really strong odds of winning that award, sweeping, honestly, Pete, those awards, including Jack Adams with Ralph Kruger, and then one of either Hall, who's no stranger to the award, or Eichel, who's really, it could be his time to shine as a household name here, superstar in the NHL.
And just moving down this list, we have a couple other ones we really liked. Like, we have Adam Fox for the most points of any defenseman in the league. Does that mean he could enter into the Norris conversation, maybe with his fellow second-year buddies, Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar?
I want to say that's a little too, I think like I was trying to go Super Bowl with some of these. That was the, like, one of the most Super Bowl ones I had. And I think there's too much what if on that about like his power play usage. But he's certainly going to take a big step this year, Pete. I think it's exactly that first year to second year big step you look for in fantasy. I think he's due for that. And I think the following season, I would pencil him in for the Norris.
Nice, nice. And we actually had one of the other crazier ones we had, but it's bold yet feasible, as we have Jacob Vrana benefiting from the new coach, Peter Laviolette, and outscoring Alex Ovechkin. I don't know how you could place a wager on that, but that's something in fantasy. If you could get Jacob Vrana outside the top 100, maybe he could yield some crazy high dividends, right?
Well, his goals per 60 was second best in the league, only to that of Austin Matthews last season. So anyone saying that that's a far-fetched thing, you got to read behind the numbers here. You got to go a little bit deeper than the surface level. Obviously, you know, Ovi's favorite for the Rocket, Richard, every year. But, you know, if you want to find super crazy value, you'd have to go off the board a little bit like that with Vrana.
Yeah, for sure. No, we're really looking forward to the start of the season. This is Monday. Season starts Wednesday. So we'll be in touch on social media in between. Definitely hit us up with all your questions. I got about 4 or 5 fantasy drafts Monday and Tuesday combined. Tonight I got 6, 7, and 8 o'clock. So I might be a little off the grid, but I will still try to answer your questions. But Robbie, I'm sure, will be available.
I will be available. I've got one draft tonight, Pete, our joint team. We're winning the league again. You can bet on that. So that's a good futures bet for us. And then tomorrow I've got my final one, like an experts Yahoo thing. I think you're in that league too, Pete. So Tuesday will be the grand finale for me. And then Wednesday, we're coming to you with another show. We'll tee up for the games. We'll get some more line trends. I think we'll see, you know, kind of how these fantasy early season trends are going to shake out. And of course, one more thing before we wrap, just pay attention to these last minute injury updates. So, so, so important. If you are taking guys like Rossi in the last couple rounds of drafts, same thing with Kubalik, who's not injured, but the team is decimated. Just pay attention to the stuff like that before your team is set.
And I'm just going to say this, because Wednesday we're going to come out of the shoot with, you know, all these plays for opening night. Be careful. Stay calm here early in the season. I know everyone's excited for the hockey and the pucks, but let's get a feel for these teams. Let's get a feel for the schedule. Let's get a feel for these back-to-backs. We don't know how it's all going to shake out. And remember, early in the season, there's been no preseason games. So, you know, let's just get a sense. Like Mike Lieboff said, there is going to be some opportunity with some teams, and we'll strike on that opportunity. But be careful, be safe as far as your plays go, because it can get crazy early in the season. We see it regularly every season. There's crazy things happening early. So this one, I think, hit the brake pedal a little bit before you start going nuts. And then the last thing I'll say, national championship game tonight, Nick Saban, Roll Tide, historic offense. I'm sorry, I'm fading Ohio State in the Big Ten. I think Alabama rolls. They win by more than 10. Give me the Crimson Tide. Put a bow on it. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm hoping Justin Fields maybe has a big performance. And since the Jets won't be getting Trevor Lawrence there, maybe they'll have a little, you know, uptick in value for him. We'll have, you know, the Jets implications here for, you know, watching that game for sure.
Roll Tide.
No, we're definitely hit us up with your last minute questions. Hit Mike up with your Twitter questions as well, at the Big Lebowski. NHL Reese for Rob, Air Check for Bobby, NHL Jensen for myself. Thanks for all the reviews you're leaving, by the way. We've got some nice ones. Goes a long way in supporting our year-long coverage. If you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.